Donald Talks Tech, episode number 35. Scott Sorensen and the Busted Camera Mix. Donald.
It's Donald Talks Tech with James DeRuvo.
Never touch another man's butt.
Online at DonaldNews.com.
Busting myths and breaking cameras. That's the subject of our next episode of Donald Talks Technology. With me is the director of photography for the Mythbusters, Scott Sorensen, who graduated from UC Santa Cruz in 2006, and his first film gig is the one he has right now. Scott, thank you for joining us on Donald Talks Technology.
Oh, my pleasure.
So you got hired on your first film gig right out the gate, and you're a Mythbuster.
Yeah.
That's like getting a job at Disneyland, man.
It's pretty surreal. Like my first day of work, I think I cleaned out every grocery store and liquor store in San Francisco of all their 2-liter bottles of Diet Coke.
it was the Mentos episode.
One of them. I think it was their Christmas special. They were making a big Rube Goldberg device. It's like the shop's like 100 feet long and it went from one end to the other, and I think part of it was like these geysers of Diet Coke would erupt and then, you know, cause the next thing. I think a turkey falls into an oven. It was pretty surreal.
And of course, I was reading from an answer you gave to No Film School where you said, I'm not sure why they called me back, but I got hired as a production assistant. And the next thing I knew, I was driving across the Bay Bridge in a small pickup full of dead pigs.
Yeah, that is true. It was a pirate episode. We were firing a air cannon through the side of a pirate ship to see if the splinters from the pirate ship were actually lethal.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Mythbusters. And I actually, my son was upset at the change of format because he really liked the old format. But I actually like it. I like the more detailed examination of the builds.
That's something like, back, in the old format, we would film all this stuff that just would never make it in. It was like, it was all this really good stuff. Like, we basically... For years, it was two shows running simultaneously, sharing resources. So you had some of the same personnel kind of going back and forth between the shops. It was like both shops were making like a full show, but it was getting cut down to 46 minutes or whatever it is.
Right. So they were both hollow shells of what they should be.
Yeah, we would, like, stories would kind of suffer because you couldn't, like, have everything in there. And, you know, we would always complain that, like, you know, you don't see any of the builds. Like, these builds are so cool. Like, all our hosts are, like, these talented, brilliant builders and just really creative. But you're not really seeing any of that process because there's no time.
And for me, that would be the best part.
Yeah. No, it's super interesting. It's actually been one of the nicest things about working on the show is just kind of absorbing as much knowledge from these people as possible and just how to build things.
So my first major question that I said I was going to ask you is, how many cameras have you destroyed?
The number's probably, it's over a couple dozen. We're probably pushing 30 plus. That's actually probably an underestimation. We kill a lot of cameras.
Is there a is there a common brand? It's like, oh no, we lost another GoPro.
Well, so early days, it was the Sony Handycams. We've got a graveyard of Sony Handycams under our staircase here in the office. Since GoPro came out, they've really been taking the brunt of our kind of destructive behavior.
Anytime there's an explosion,
GoPro's right there. They're the closest thing to that explosion.
I'm curious, have they contacted you and asked you to send them the dead carcasses so they could study them? Because it would seem like you guys would be the excellent laboratory for field testing equipment.
Yeah. I actually, not long after we started using GoPro cameras, I think I met one of their guys at NAB this few years ago. And we kind of exchanged a few emails, but we did a test. We were testing the Valkyrie bomb from
That was a good episode. I remember that episode.
Yeah, so the idea is that there's one of Hitler's kind of generals or someone had smuggled in some C4 into this hidden underground bunker to try to assassinate Hitler.
And he put it on the wrong side of a table.
Yeah, it was something like the table saved him or something. And so it was like we used, I think it was probably like 2 pounds of C4. And I don't know why, but I had a GoPro maybe like 6 feet away from it. It was in a blast housing we built. But after the explosion, the GoPro died.
The blast housing didn't work.
You know, the Lexan and the housing shattered, and the housing got chucked, and it broke the lens on the GoPro. It's actually like this perfect little smashed hole in the center of the lens. But I think I emailed GoPro and I sent them that photo and complained. I was like, you know, you guys are making this inferior product. This was 6 whole feet away from the people. You know, this thing should be fine. I think they get a kick out of that.
Oh, that's very funny. That is very funny. So the word has it that you guys are using Blackmagic Pocket Cinema cameras now for the openings.
Yeah, yeah. So we started using the Pocket Cams about 2 years ago now. Kind of when we rebooted the show a little bit, we wanted to kind of bring up the visuals with our second cameras. And we went with the Pockets, and it's actually, you know, that I kind of fell in love immediately with the look of the Pocket Cam with the Metabone Speed Booster.
Uh-huh.
We've got a ton of old Nikon stills glass for our high-speed cameras.
Oh, man, there's nothing better.
And it, like, the Pocket just looks great with these Nikon lenses on the Speed Booster. And so, you know, whenever we do these openers, I'll usually go straight for the Pocket Cams.
And you have no shortage of them either. According to the press release I read, you've got 10 of them.
Yeah.
Just put them everywhere.
Yeah. So we've got 10 of them, and I'm happy to say we still have 10 of them. I was a little worried yesterday. We did some stuff with some helicopters, and I had one all the way up on a C stand, and the wash from the helicopter was actually enough that the C stand went toppling over. And the, you know, the camera's right at the top, so it got hit pretty hard, but totally fine. We'll usually, you know, because this is a science show. It is experimentation. We know kind of what's going to happen. Like after like years of explosions and car crashes and all this stuff, like we have an idea of how big the explosion is going to be, or how, what the car is going to do when it hits the ramp and smashes into the building, or, you know, whatever it is we're doing, but we don't actually know what's going to happen. So we generally have to cover thinking of like every kind of potential thing that might happen. Because we need to record it. We have to have some camera to show what the result of the test is. So that's why we have 10 of these Pocket Cams, so that we can put them all around, like the boat that's about to explode.
I guess you've been there since 2006, so you're there almost 10 years now. So I guess after 10 years, you kind of have a pretty good idea the magnitude of the explosion based on the amount of dynamite or C4 or ampho that they're going to use.
Yeah.
And let's face it, they use it all.
They do. Yeah.
So you pretty much have a good idea of where to put a camera.
And if
you have to put it somewhere, you know it's going to get destroyed. That's where the GoPro goes.
Well, I won't say that I'll intentionally put a GoPro somewhere where I know it's for sure going to get destroyed. I try to be optimistic. Like, no, this will work. This will be good. But yeah, no, after you know, over years of doing this stuff, we've got a pretty fair idea of what explosives will do to cameras, and we, you know, try to account for that. So, you know, I mean, the show's been on for, they've been shooting for 13 years.
Quite a while, yeah.
So, you know, given the length of the show and the number of explosions and destroyed cars and everything else, you know, I think our camera kill count is probably actually fairly low.
So what is it that you like about the pocket cinema camera? Because I also noticed that you also use the multi-view 16.
Yeah.
Is it just you have a whole set there that you can actually put everything together with?
Well, it is nice that, like, all the Blackmagic stuff, you just plug it in and it all kind of talks to each other. Like, that's kind of fantastic. With the pockets, like, I really like the image quality we get out of them. The dynamic range is nice.
Do you shoot RAW or ProRes?
We're shooting ProRes, mm-hmm. Which our post-production really likes. You know, before we were with our handycams, we were actually dubbing all the footage from the handycam onto an XD cam deck, like just going through the camera, playing it back, like, and recording in real time onto XD disc. And then they would ingest that in post. So it was kind of a pain for us over here. It was a pain for them over there. And
that's the one thing that's always bugged me about Sony, is they're so obsessed with proprietary technology.
Yeah. But the ProRes has been brilliant, because we just put it all on a hard drive, send it off to Australia, and our editors just take it into the system.
Is that where it's edited? It's edited down under?
Yeah. So the production company, Beyond Productions, is a Australian company. The guy that had the original idea for the show was Australian, pitched it to an Australian company, as you do. And, you know, it just so happens that the talent is based in San Francisco. So we film in San Francisco, and every Friday we take a box down to FedEx and you know.
So you still transport all the footage the old school way.
Yeah.
By FedEx.
And, you know, 14 years and haven't lost a single box, which is pretty good.
And so you use the pocket cinema camera for all the on location stuff.
Along with,
if I remember correctly, because I'm going to show my Mythbusters geekiness here, you also use a Phantom Flex high speed camera, and a GoPro, and obviously GoPros.
So it's not the Flex. We've got the more industrial line of cameras. Like, you know, Phantom's got the two lines. There's like the cinema kind, which is like higher resolution but lower frame rate,
uh-huh.
Like the Flex. Although the Flex is pretty fast. And then we've got the V series. So we've got a V12.1 that we've had for a few years now. Uh-huh. That'll do. The maximum resolution is 1280 by 720, which is pretty common for the industrial line. But it'll do that up to 6900 frames per second.
And then you have to upscale it to.
Yeah, then they up-res and post to 1080.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, actually, oh, God, next week. Okay, so next week's going to be really busy for us. I can't really say what we're doing, but it's going to be massively huge. And it's going to be actually 5 days in a row of massively huge things.
like so what you're saying is it could be a very explosive week.
It definitely will.
Because you guys love to blow stuff up.
It's true.
I remember this one episode where you guys blew something up, and Jamie and Adam Savage looks at the camera and goes, "It never gets old." and he's like a kid in the candy store. It just cracks me up.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. So next week is actually every day is like the biggest thing we've ever done. And then like the next day after that is the biggest thing
you've ever done.
So next week will be kind of crazy, and we're actually going to get a couple of cameras, high-speed cameras from the location we're going to, which is a kind of a very specialized location. And then Vision Research is actually sending us their latest camera, the V2511, which we're hoping to shoot somewhere around 50 to say like 70,000 frames next week with that.
Wow.
Actually, in fact, that's sitting in the hallway. I forgot. It's just sitting in the hallway looking at me. But yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. These from when I started on this show to where high-speed cameras are now, it's crazy. They're so much faster.
Have you read about that one that they claim it can capture this, literally capture the speed of light?
I think I saw like the headline for that.
Yeah. See the video and it's not literally that fast, but it's pretty close. They claim a trillion frames per second. And I don't know how you could get any decent resolution at that.
speed. Whenever I see those stories, I always think about, see, like our camera that we've had for a few years, it's like, oh yeah, it'll do a million frames a second, but it'll do a million frames a second at like, it's like 128 by like 80, or no, it might be even like 12 by 8 or something. It's
that
like
postage so stamp small. Size. Yeah.
Like, you might be able to see if something goes from like dark to light, but that's about it. So I always take like the, you know, this camera's faster, you know, it can record light. It's like, you know, it's probably really bad resolution, you know, I don't know. But it is amazing how far it's come, just in the last few years.
So what is it that you use you just use the MultiView 16 and monitors to just so you can get a live view of everything when you're shooting?
Yeah. So that's actually one of the things we run into frequently is we'll have this massive explosion. It's all set up to go. And we'll all kind of retreat to safety, which is usually a shipping container. And we'll be ready to go. And, you know, 3, 2, 1, you press the button and nothing happens. So we have to, like, go.
Which is actually the most dangerous, scary part of the whole thing.
Oh, for sure.
It could go off any moment after that.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, it's never done that. But, you know, it's always really scary, like, watching, you know, experts have to, like, go back out to the bomb that, you know, has been armed and then triggered and it didn't go off. And, you know, you disconnect everything. But it's still spooky.
Yeah.
And so for us, what that usually means for the camera department is we're kind of all looking at our watches like, okay, when did we start the roll? Oh, shoot. Okay. You know, we're worried we're going to run out of record time. And so with the MultiView, we've actually set up a system, with some wireless video feeds and a LANT control system that we can, wirelessly cut and roll our cameras and view them remotely all on this one screen. So we can, you know, set it up, go to safety, roll the cameras, and if we have a misfire, we just cut the cameras and, you know, we're not worried about battery life or record time because everything's just set, it's on standby, ready to go. But that's seriously, that's taken like however long the show has been on. Like, you know, we've just done that in this last year. Before that, we just, you know, we sprint from camera to camera cutting the roll, and it's...
Dodgy. I was going to say, you probably have it in the old days. You probably had like 3 or 4 camera assistants hitting record on all the different cameras.
And, well, I mean, we've never really had that. Like our camera crew has always been tiny. Even in our kind of old format, at each shop, you had a camera operator, a sound recordist, and then a high speed second camera guy. And that's it. And now with the new format, now that we're just all in one building, it's myself, 2 operators, and our sound guy. And, you know, we pull in our PAs and on big tests to help roll cameras and trigger high speed cameras. But it's small crew.
I would think it would have to be you'd have to be especially nimble because of the danger of the things that you're doing, but also just because you have to like sometimes record on the fly.
Yeah.
When they're doing experiments and stuff. So
yeah,
having a smaller crew is always better.
It's true. Like when you're doing this kind of stuff, like having more bodies, you know, kind of on the field where you're arming an explosive, it's like, it's just, you know, that much slower to get everybody to safety. And, you know, it's spooky.
So you used them underwater during Shark Week, the pocket sonar camera.
We did. And that was actually fantastic. We've never actually had, or at least I've never had a fantastic experience with our second cameras underwater. Cause we've kind of relied on, because our last shark special was a few years ago. But we've relied on, like, you know, these plastic handy cam housings, that, you know, it's all clear and you can't really see the screen very well because you have to like fold out this flap with a mirror and then kind of put these little dividers in. And, you know, they're always kind of a pain to deal with, but the Black Magics, we got some nice Ike Light housings for them and, had a little, RC hobby battery that was just small enough to fit on top of the camera inside the housing.
Yeah.
So we could go underwater for hours and not worry about, battery life or anything. It was really nice.
So how is the battery life on the pocket cinema camera during the, I mean, or do you just keep them plugged in?
How do you
deal with the battery life? I'll put it that way.
Well, what we do, because I mean, we have to roll for hours usually, much to the chagrin of our edit assistant who has to go through all of this footage. And, it'll be like, you know, you roll cameras, everybody gets the safety, the bomb squad goes in, arms something, comes back, they get the safety, you know, it's time. It's all this time to get everything done, safely and properly. So the cameras are just sitting there rolling. So we've always, with the pockets, used external battery packs. We've got the Bescore, I think it's a BM Epic. These little battery packs and like a little cloth bag that will just hang on the C stands with the camera, and they're great. It'll have the pocket will go all day on those.
Oh, very, very, very cool. What is your what? Tell me what your favorite. After 10 years, have you been the DP on the show for how long?
Since the
changeover.
Yeah. So it's been about a year and a half.
Year and a half. Yeah. Since the change in format.
Yeah. Since the start of this last season.
And the opening, the actual show opening is shot on the pocket. Am I correct?
Yeah. Parts of it are the pocket. Parts are, the FS700.
You guys have a really good colorist then, because I haven't been able to tell the difference.
Yeah. I mean, they really put our post-production put a lot of effort into that opening sequence.
Are you guys color correcting on DaVinci?
I don't know. I think we may be, I don't know. Australia is a very, very far place to play.
Fortunately, that's where Black Magic is.
Yeah, so that is true. I don't know.
That's okay.
But yeah, the opening sequence is actually, it is a credit to whoever did the color for it, because
it's a beautiful opening sequence.
Yeah, and we shot that on, like I said, we shot that on the pocket and the FS700 and our Phantom. And so if you look at a Phantom image up against like S log, up against pocket, like the S log and the pocket, you know, will look similar, but not totally similar. And put them up against the Phantom, and the Phantom looks like a cartoon because it's so bright and like saturated, and you know, it doesn't ever quite look real. So whoever's done that has done a fantastic job.
So what has been your favorite myth to test cinematically?
Cinematically. That is a very good question. I think probably it's the next one.
Okay.
The next one, which I can't talk about.
Probably it's the one that I can't talk.
Yeah, no, it actually is. I will say that the next thing we're going to film, it's actually going to be in a few weeks. It's going to be insane. What we're doing is, I'm super excited about it. We're doing things we haven't done before. We're utilizing like our camera department to the fullest. I'm bringing in extra shooters. I was texting a buddy of mine last night trying to get him on board to shoot, and I was like, you don't want to miss this shoot. This is going to be the best shoot. But beyond that, looking back in the past,
there's no cannons, is there?
No. looking back into the past, I think I could tell you my favorite shot. It's like cinematically, my favorite shot, at least on high speed, is we did an episode called Car Skip, where we were trying to see if we could get a car to skip across a body of water, like in, I think it was Cannonball Run, like 2 or 3 or something.
Uh-huh.
And we got 2 Fieros, and one we just kind of had flat skipping across the water and actually worked. But the other one, the first one we did, went off a ramp. So this high-speed shot, you've got this bright green car, and it hits this dirt ramp, and it goes flying through the air, and it stays perfectly in shot, and kind of the nose starts to come down, and then it just does somersaults into this water, and the water just kind of sprays up, and it's fantastic. It's my favorite high-speed shot.
I always love the high-speed shots on the lake that you guys shoot, where they're doing the explosions on the lake, and the yeah. ripples of the water. In high speed is just stunning the way
I will tell you then, there is an episode that will air next year, but probably the best water ripple we've ever had.
How far ahead are you guys in filming?
I think we started filming this year in, when did we start? March? And then this season wraps up mid-November. I think we'll start airing in January. Usually, I mean, it used to be that we could say it would be like 3 or 4 months between when we filmed an episode and when it aired. But I think kind of it always changes. Like, you know, we'll shoot an episode and then it'll get shelved for a second, and then something else will air in front of that we filmed later. I'd say, we're probably.
Do you know what you're filming for the entire year so that you can start laying, or is it like a couple of episodes in advance? As a cameraman, how does shooting on the Mythbusters, how does that affect your pre-production workflow of preparing?
Well, at the start of every shooting block, usually we go for like 10 to 14 weeks straight. At the start of every shooting block, we'll have some story meetings where we'll kind of sit down with the host and kind of flesh out the storylines and how everything's going to work. And, you know, I'll sit in and kind of take from that what I can in terms of like how I want to shoot it, and start thinking about like, okay, well, we're going to be, you know, smashing 2 cars into each other head on. I'm going to need to build some camera housings.
I remember when you guys did that. It took you forever to get that done because of the, I think it was was that the episode where it was because you guys were using the cables to tow them? You just couldn't get it to time right. It took you forever to get the 2 to meet.
Shoot. You saying tow cables wouldn't time right. That could be any number of episodes. Every episode where we use tow cables.
I remember the one where you tried to get the car just to go off the ramp and it just wouldn't go.
There's been so much weird stuff that's happened with car stories on this show. Like, you know, we went to a crash test facility and like we're taking, they pulled this giant like land yacht of a Chrysler into the side of a semi-truck trailer to see if they could take the roof off. And it did, but then the braking system failed and the thing kept going at like whatever, 70 miles an hour. And hit a dirt berm like a couple hundred feet away and went flying like 20 feet in the air and landed in a tree.
Yeah.
Like, how? What? Okay.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
My all-time favorite, though, has to be the rocket sled where the car hits the wall and just turns to dust.
The rocket sled is pretty – I like looking at those shots in the high speed where you just kind of see the paint just become like a mist of color.
Yeah. Speaking of the mist of color, the painting with explosion episode.
That's a good one too.
That high-speed shot of the explosion of the paint into a mist of color was just beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, and then Jamie's version of that where he's got the like giant orb of death filled with paint and explosives.
Yeah.
And just like put blood all over the walls. And it looked like it was like Jamie's kill room is what it looked like at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really fun one.
But the rocket sled's my favorite because I remember my dad used to work at Edwards Air Force Base. And,
oh, nice.
And back in the 70s, they were doing all those rocket sled tests with ejection seats, and they took an F4 Phantom and they had it on a rocket sled going Mach 1, and I think they were trying to go Mach 1, and then they impacted it this jet into a concrete wall, and it literally, there was nothing left, it literally turned to dust.
Jeez.
And they shot it in high speed. You could find it on YouTube, and it is truly it's just to watch something 1 second, one split second earlier be complete, and the next second there's literally nothing bigger than, you know, a thumbnail is amazing.
That's incredible.
Just because it hit a concrete bunker.
It's
pretty wild.
Yeah, it's like when we really blow something up and there's like nothing left. And there's just like, there's not even like a chassis.
Like the cement truck. I remember the cement truck where you blew up the cement truck.
Yeah, so I wasn't there for that. That was before my time. But every single time we film at that location, somebody brings up that story. Like as you're setting up the high-speed camera, like getting ready to do this shot, they're like, oh, you remember the cement truck where we didn't get the high-speed shot? Yeah, that was bad. Dude, just shut up. I don't want to hear about that right now.
Because you can't really redo it with an exploded cement truck.
Yeah.
With an atomized cement truck. So so you have, what is your favorite camera to shoot on? Is it the Blackmagic?
Oh, that's like asking me to choose between my left hand and my right hand.
I know, I'm asking you to choose your favorite children. I know.
Jeez. Well, I mean, it's like they all have their kind of their pluses, right? I like the Blackmagic for its size, and you know, you could kind of put it anywhere and really kind of do anything with it that you need to. But like I like the FS700s too for their, you know, the slow mo abilities. That's been fantastic because we've had, you know, like from years of shooting high speeds and like, oh, we want to get a cool shot of like the guys arriving in slow-mo, like walking in slow-mo. And you're, okay, set up the Phantom, you're putting put the Cinemag on, you're plugging into the laptop and setting up the laptop, bringing the software up, getting it all ready to go. It's like the FS700, you just go, okay, and press a button twice and you're like, okay, go ahead. You know, that's been great. It's like everything, even like, GoPro.
Do you have to light them differently?
Well, Phantom, it's like, I mean, high speed in general is just like get as much light as you possibly can and just blast it. Like, you know, because the more light you have, the higher frame rate you can get, the higher shutter speed you can get. And you can shoot a crazy high frame rate, but if your shutter speed's too too low, you know, things still won't look crisp.
What is the benchmark shutter speed to shoot on high speed?
It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, but where do you start though? Where is your bench line?
Oh, shoot.
Or does experience say, okay, we're shooting, or you look at it and go, you've been doing this for a while, so you go, okay, we're going to be shooting bullets, so that's around shutter speed versus we're doing car crashes, so that's around this shutter speed. You just know that because you've done it so many times.
I think it's mostly like we'll dial in the frame rate dependent on what the subject is. Like bullets, you just crank it until the resolution runs out, and then see what shutter speed you can get based on the frame rate. But other stuff like waters is like something where you definitely want a very high shutter speed, so that you get like these kind of crisp globs of
ripples
of water. Yeah. But maybe you don't need as high a frame rate. So it's just working that relationship between frame rate and shutter.
Now, when you do the underwater explosions, which are really cool. I don't remember seeing any underwater shots of the underwater explosions. It's always from on high at a safe distance. Is that because you pretty much will destroy the camera to the point where you can't even get any usable footage because of the concussion waves underwater?
Yeah. So we forgot about that one day, but yeah, basically
I figured you'd try it.
Well, I mean, we work on a science show, so we have to, you know, we should at least pay attention to what the hosts are saying. But yeah, it's like if you're underwater, the water doesn't really, it's not going to compress, so it's very efficient in terms of like taking that shockwave and putting it into your camera.
Which is why they still use depth charges.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But so Will Nail, one of our camera ops, and I were shooting a story about what is bomb proof? It was like I don't remember which time this was. We've done what is bomb proof a few times, but one was like throw the bomb in a fish tank and then you'll be able to survive. And it was like, oh well, let's put a GoPro inside the fish tank. But of course, when the explosive went off, it just the shockwave just traveled perfectly through the water until it got to this little air pocket, which was the GoPro, and just crushed it. I think that one, like the lens, is just like this perfect circle of like destruction. But yeah, so we generally won't have cameras in the water. We'll have them like right on the water's edge.
Right.
I really like to get that shot because you have the big explosion come up and then the wave after the fact will usually wash over the camera.
It's a great first person point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you
wrap, or do you shoot anything else, or do you like literally have to take a break? What else is Scott Sorensen doing these days?
It depends. I mean, for the most part, over like the last 9 years or so, when we take a break from MythBusters, I'm like, okay, I'm taking a break. I've done a couple of commercials outside of the show, and a few commercials for Adam and Jamie on different projects. And then a couple of different shows in San Francisco. There seems to be a fair bit of reality right now in San Francisco.
It seems to be a popular spot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, especially the real estate market. It's very popular.
Are you touring? Did you tour with Adam and Jamie on their MythBusters live tour?
No. I would have liked to. It would have been kind of fun. They did have a high-speed video op for that tour. To get high speed video of people from the crowd coming up and like shaking their faces back and forth. That's a whole different world. The stage show stuff. I don't know if I could live on a bus for 3 weeks at a time. And then, yeah, it'd be different.
It's like when they're not doing the show, they're touring. They're like,
Oh yeah, no, they're crazy busy.
I mean, all the time. It's like you'd think they get tired of one another. Since they're so completely different people, it's always been interesting to watch them work because they like always have two completely different approaches to a myth.
Yeah, it's true, and you know they'll argue about the best way to approach something or build something, solve a problem, but they both fully acknowledge that that kind of argument, that difference in their opinions and the way they come at something actually makes whatever they come up with better. Like better than what one of them would have come up with alone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really great working with the two of them.
Well, based on the 45 minutes that I've been talking with Scott Sorensen, I would have to say this interview is confirmed.
Nice.
Scott, thank you for joining us on Dottle Talks Technology.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Dottle Talks Technology. For more information, visit our website at www.news.dottleme.com. Got a question or comment? There's several ways to get a hold of us. You can drop me a line at james@dottleme.com or on Twitter @dottle. You can like us on Facebook and also subscribe and leave us feedback on iTunes. Dottle Talks Technology is a copyrighted podcast from Dottle News. Thanks for listening.